Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of L.A. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don'tmakemecomebackthere for an exclusive offer for backseat. Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is Stephen English to my left, the co-host and the producer of this podcast, as well as a stand-up comedian. As well as a commercial actor available for $75 an hour.
And not a penny less and not a penny more because I'm not worth it.
Thanks for tuning in to our little podcast. We also here in studio today, we have for our intro. We're no easing into this. We're just going straight ahead. And we're to my right is a one Zoltan Cassis. Hi, Zoltan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be a part of the intro. And
your first one we've ever had.
When you say studio, you're being so direct. It's actually my studio apartment.
Which even that is a kind of complimentary term for a garage.
Yeah, I live in a garage. This is what this is what divorced men are supposed to live in.
If you were an alien, you're building a terrarium for a divorced man, like in an alien zoo. This would be
I tried to get a one bedroom, and then I had to fill in my paperwork, and they're like, "It says here you're going through a divorce." You can't. No. Listen, there's a garage that cars used to park in. You can live in there. So that's what I live in.
I don't know that I would have quickly thought it to be a garage had you not told me, but walking in knowing that you had had that realization, I was like, oh yeah, this is a garage.
Because I told you that. So I lived in this place for a whole month, and then I didn't know it was a garage, and I went on the road because I do comedy, and then I came home and I had to take the trash out, and the trash cans are in the front of the building because I brought you guys in through the alley entrance. There's a separate entrance. And then once I threw the trash out, I looked up at my building and I went, why is there a garage door on my house? And I went, oh no, I'm a 31-year-old man who lives in a garage. And I immediately got sad.
But you haven't moved.
No, and I'm not going to.
All this stuff's up. Yeah.
What are you
gonna do? Oh, yeah. I mean, his Bukowski paintings are up.
As
if you weren't already nihilistic enough about the whole situation.
First of all, I think of Bukowski as optimistically negative.
Yeah.
Right? He's a good...
You wouldn't give him a full nihilist. Yeah. He's definitely a bummer.
Yeah. Well, if you read him that way...
You don't?
No.
Yeah.
I read him as a guy who takes negative things, talks about them negatively, with a silver lining of joy.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Like, he was negative about love. He goes, love is the first 2 weeks, and the rest of it is you chasing that high of the first 2 weeks, which some people would go, well, that's really sad. And it's like, no, why don't you just embrace those 2 weeks?
Right.
And really, I don't know. It can be positive. Just shut up, you guys.
Yeah. I even said a word.
No. I like it.
I'm just sitting here trying to pretend like I know who y'all talking about. Like, Yes. The Big Lebowski. I've seen that movie.
You know what I'm talking about? You know what another phrase for the first 2 weeks of love would be?
What's that?
Would be the seeds of love.
Oh my God.
What is that in reference to?
I'm so glad you got to experience. A little thing that we do on our podcast is that I will surprise. I'll sneak in the ad. Right. He'll never see it coming. He right. never oh. does.
Right.
And well we have done. A sponsor called Seeds of Love.
Nice. Is that the new Chia Pet? What are they?
Seeds of Love. We throw in. We'll give them catchphrases. We'll right. sing songs yeah. for them. Yeah. No. Let me tell you about Seeds of Love. Seeds
Please.
Of Love no. Makes bracelets.
Oh.
Really nice bracelets, they're like you'll see one pretty soon here,
all right.
Because you're gonna be getting my Christmas card pretty soon.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
And all our Christmas card, all five of us are wearing different Seeds of Love bracelets.
Oh, I thought you said you're gonna put one in there.
No. I'm not going to give one away. No, he has to buy it, which we'll tell him a little bit in the promo code real quick. Seeds of Love is a cool company. They make some really cool, fashionable, good-looking bracelets.
Yep.
My kids like them. My wife likes them. I like them. All mm-hmm. cool. They go well with flannels, which is important to me.
Of course.
and more importantly, it supports a good cause. What they do is they support artists, in Guatemala.
Guatemala.
And so it goes back and supports this community when
right.
they make them, and it you know, so it's nice to get a thing, and you know, you're not just you know, giving the money to some corporate bozo.
Yeah,
it's like the Tom Shoes of seeds,
exactly. of bracelets.
Of
I don't
bracelets.
Know if they want that of seeds.
I just remember seeds.
They actually yeah. sell
Johnny
seeds.
Appleseed,
yeah. No, it's nice to make a difference while getting a nice little product, and
sure
you know, it's good to share the love this holiday season with some high quality bracelets that have a purpose. So make a difference yeah. while making a fashion statement, Zoltan. I'm looking
Absolutely.
At you.
You know?
And you can follow them on Instagram or Facebook of @SeedsOfLoveBracelets. And we would never ever consider doing a promo an ad if we didn't have a little discount for
right.
our backseaters, our listeners, or our frontseaters, Zoltan.
Yep.
Go to their website, SeedsOfLoveBracelets.com. Use promo code Don't Make Me to get 10% off your bracelet.
That's it.
Boom.
Easy.
Seeds
it's easy.
Of Love.
If you're not doing it right now, you don't love.
You don't.
Love
absolutely,
yeah.
you don't. Also, while we're in the vein of promotion, I'm going to tell you about some headlining dates, and then Zoltan, get your dates queued up.
Oh,
all right,
I'll do that now.
I'll do mine too. Already done.
yours are also mine.
Yeah.
let's see here. If you are in, let's see. Well, this is going to come out. Well, I've already. Thank you to all you guys that came out to the Grandstand in San
right.
Diego or Chatterbox in Covina. That's this Sunday. That's going to be a ton of fun. Spokane Comedy Club. I'm going to be there February 9th. Zany's Comedy Club. I'm going to be there in Nashville February 26th.
Oh, yeah.
Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to be doing the improv February 27th. Ontario, California. Going to be doing the improv April 16th. Tacoma Comedy Club. We're going to be there for 7 shows, May 14th through 17th. 2 of those shows are 13 and over. So if you got like a teen that you want to bring to the show, you can come
yeah.
to those shows. Other than that, it's going to be rated R. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring the real raunchy stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
filthy,
yeah.
filthy.
Right.
also, we'll hopefully soon we'll have some other dates to announce. And we are working on some dates in Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Oaktown,
the Bay Area, and back down.
oh boy!
No, nothing. Okay,
I'm a fan.
Yeah. What do you got for us, Zoltan, as far as some promotion?
When is this airing? This
will air
Tuesday.
On December 20. No. Hold on. No, this Tuesday. This Tuesday, the 17th.
Okay, well then, December 19th through the 21st, I will be in Washington D.C. at the Comedy Loft.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah. So come out to
book
that.
Me.
Well, January I'm taking off for the most part. February, the 27th through the 28th, Seattle, Washington. I will be at Laughs Comedy Club.
Nice.
And then Cleveland, March 4th at Hilarities.
A little bit of context. We're here in Zoltan's house garage studio, and which is a little bit of a knock. We can't really knock on this place when we're recording our podcast.
Yeah,
here.
You
we,
guys right. came here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All of us had bad sets tonight.
Right.
All
right.
of us bombed in town.
Yeah.
And at least that's always nice when it's a shorter drive home, I guess. But,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I've given you guys shelter for your podcast.
This is nice to come here and do our
From
podcast
the storm, yeah.
and have some LaCroix and enjoy
absolutely.
Our time. But, you know, we as you need to commiserate.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you only have so many friends.
Right.
I mean, as you know, in this room I have a friend and a professional associate. And
that is so cold.
Assistant yeah, from another mister.
You can't let him too close, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like just break your heart.
Like
is
a
this
stray,
how I
like
did
a stray
you?
Dog.
Yeah, if you start feeding me, if you start feeding me wet food, I'm never gonna leave. Gotta give me the dry.
No, no. What you did to me is you would take me on a weekend, where I would make what he makes in a week every single week with me. So I'm verbally a little meaner.
I see.
But yeah, financially, I'm much more generous.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
But
well,
you didn't. We didn't have much to do. I mean, you can only. You can only.
Whatever you were getting paid to open for me, which was nothing, I was making maybe 5 cents more.
So. I remember when I first went out with Don Friesen, we did a weekend in at a comedy club in Chicago, and I I got the feature check, and I looked at it, and he goes, I featured at this club at 1992 for more money than that.
Wow.
My goodness.
Wow.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about. Like, I don't know if that's too inside baseball for your listeners. I'm done with check spots. I just want to do shows.
We just promoted so many dates at comedy clubs.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Other than Zany's Nashville, Ontario Improv, Raleigh Improv, Tacoma Comedy Club, and Spokane Comedy Club, I hate them all, and any other ones that might be listening.
I like Hilarities in Cleveland. That was a date that I promoted. That I that club treats me really nice.
Right,
there's a nice hotel. They pick me up at the thing. They pay me a good amount, and they, we do a door thing. It's very, it's great.
Yeah,
but then you spend like five emails going back and forth arguing over essentially nickels and dimes. Mm-hmm. Going, why are we doing this? Right. Why don't I just rent out my own venue? Like you and I have both done on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Keep 100% of the door. Mm-hmm. There's no check spot.
Right.
And then there's no openers being booked by the club that you don't have that much control over.
What's nice about it is if you get a little bit of a following in a certain area, what you can do is, like, if you have a club that wants to play ball, then great.
Right. Great.
Especially, like, there are certain clubs, like, I'm thinking particularly of Zany's Nashville. I adore that club. I'm happy to be there.
Right.
It's a legendary club. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm happy to do it. But if there are other areas, like the Bay Area, for whatever reason, I mean, I literally just got an email right now from a club where, right before we started this, we were already complaining. A club that I've played there four times as the middle, and I go to, and she's like, you know, she responded like, I'm sorry, I just can't, I know you're very funny, but I can't headline you. And you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go do an independent venue in Oakland then.
Right.
And that's fine.
And I'm going to take tickets away from your club. I feel like there's a chain you and I could bury together comfortably. You're not trying to go back to
The last email that I got from them was an offer to come to a triple feature weekend.
Yeah, for 17 cents and a,
and a condo that doesn't have windows.
Oh, my goodness.
So we've talked a lot about comedy condos on this podcast, but this one in particular, it's a hallway that you go, you leave the comedy club and you go down a hallway, and they've built, I can't call them rooms, that they just put up walls.
Dorm,
and there's no windows.
Wait. So you stay, it's like the Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah, you never leave
for
the building.
A comedy club. Exactly. You just stay. That's kind of,
no,
that could be depressing.
No,
especially if you go
slides
there in the winter, too.
Somehow
like,
more depressing than a Great Wolf Lodge. And the food is worse, and there's no water slide.
Yeah.
Only way I would be able to sleep in that room is knowing that at least if there's a fire, I'm not getting out.
Yeah.
that would be.
But you know what? If
you
email me right now and I had it open, I'd be like,
I know. Because who we are.
Yeah. You know, because the question so often is, would you rather do comedy than not do comedy?
Right.
And I always would rather do comedy because I like it, you know.
Sure.
Which is why we all like did sets tonight, and they were like, okay, I think you probably had the best set of the night because you did the store and it was good.
Yeah.
By the time I got them, like I said, over 100 people had left. I got down to like 11 people.
Right.
But it was okay because I was workshopping. Like I did 15 minutes at Riff City, which is great. And
That was a great show.
It was okay. It was a great show. And I, you know, I had my notes out and it was fun to work. And so you can go.
Yeah.
Like they don't deserve a material, that crowd. And I don't want to give it
like
to them anyway.
Attitude.
They don't.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
You know, and they want you to be weird anyways.
Right.
So the first minute is riffing about, like, one lady left 3 minutes into my set. I was like, you've been here for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you looked at me and you can't. I can't do five more minutes. I can't. I just can't. Because they announced me as the last comedian.
Yeah.
And when they said in our final comedian, they're like, oh, thank God.
Oh, yeah. There's a relief.
Yeah. Because a lot of them are there just because socially they're afraid to leave because they're scared. And a lot of the comics are calling them out, which don't do that in that setting.
Right.
If there's any comics, if somebody's leaving, let it be. Yeah. There's no good that's going to come from if you walk somebody, just take the punch.
Right.
You walked him. It's on you, probably.
And I mean, sometimes sometimes people just try to get home because they got to be, you know, people got to get home for stuff. Mm-hmm. Their babysitter or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes it's just
Wednesday.
Like, it's Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. There was an open mic. There's like 15 comedians on the show. And then there's like how many pop-ins can that could possibly
it's
be.
It's funny you say that because I actually told them, I go, I don't know. I'm, what did I say? I say, I'm so curious about what's going on that's so bad in your life that you've been here for 3 hours.
Right. you think it's a lot of dates? You think it's a lot of dates?
It's what a terrible date.
I think, well, because there's an open mic that happens before the show you guys do. So I think those people came to support whatever the dumb friend decided to do stand-up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, afterwards. Well, when do we leave? Because the open mic bleeds into the thing.
Yeah.
So now you're there.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you did. Okay, real quick. Before we get into this, because what we want to do is we're going to, as promised, we're going to do some reactions. But this is our intro. Zoltan told me that, and you've lived in San Diego for your whole life.
And I travel a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
He said that downtown San Diego tonight was the drunkest, not only the drunkest and rowdiest he's ever seen downtown San Diego, but the drunkest, rowdiest environment you've ever seen.
Ever seen in
you
my entire life.
You go to sporting events?
Sporting events. I've been to, I did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival whole summer in Scotland.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we comedically make fun of how drunk those people
are. Right. Yeah.
And I saw a 50-year-old man get zip tied down before the sun went down. And tonight was drunker than that.
We've done New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
When I've done New Year's Eve at Madhouse like 3 years in a row now, and it's like Armageddon out there, and you've seen it, but you said it was crazier than that.
And it was only craziness because it was Wednesday night. The whole all of downtown was dead. The only people that were out were shirtless and fighting and bleeding.
And you found out who they were.
Yes, because by the time I got to the club, there was like one guy, and I could tell he was young, and with the entire group, the whole street was just brawling.
I'm gonna guess a ship came in.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
A ship came in for sure.
Hey, this is old military guy.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
How long do you think they'd been out? 10, 11 months? Is that what it was? It like,
you know,
it was no, they told me. Oh, you
I don't know.
Your guess,
you project.
I would say
so. You think you this are a bunch of rowdy seamen, who are back.
Who are back. I mean, they probably. You know, I don't know. All the people I knew in the Navy were always like, they all had like land jobs. They were
right.
They were landlubbers.
Landlubbers.
So I don't know. Maybe they go out for like 7 months, 6 months.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Can I tell you the
number? So this isn't.
Can I tell you the number that they were out? Because I found out. But go ahead.
But I do want to hear it because it's so funny because when you think about the ships coming in, you think about the statue. The iconic scene, the families. You think about watching the family reunions, all that kind of. This is reality too.
Now think of the statue of the guy and the girl kissing.
Yeah.
Right.
Now instead of them kissing, imagine him just throwing a right cross and punching her in the face.
Which, by the way, in context, that he didn't know that girl.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's funny. He just grabbed a random.
He just grabbed her. Yeah.
So you guess 7 months?
I guess 7. Yeah.
I asked one of them 30 days.
Oh, we've been gone that long.
Yeah.
Cruises last 30. I mean, you could go on a scuba diving trip for 30 days.
They
30 days.
They
That's
went on
nothing.
A carnival cruise essentially, and came down and tried to burn down downtown San Diego. I couldn't believe it.
They just.
It was insane.
Oh my god!
This is the drunkest I've ever seen in my entire life. I was actually worried. I was like nervous to walk back to my car. There's just people bleeding, and I was like, "Where are the cops?"
Right?
What do you mean? People are just fighting, or people laying on the ground?
Every situation I walked by was like one guy shirtless, bleeding, and three guys trying to hold him and calm him down.
Right.
And that situation kept replaying itself, block after block after block, to the point where I'm like. Who's fighting everybody?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what's happening? It's like Thanos hit the button. And I didn't understand.
Right.
But there's no cops. And I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah.
I'm like, I felt like such an old man, you know?
When I was joining the military, I went to all the recruiting stations are on one strip mall. You know, it's always like a strip mall and all the offices are right next to each other.
Right.
And I remember I went to the Navy and asked them, like, what are the chances that I would be on like a submarine or like honestly like is it is there anything you could tell me where I'd have 0% chance of ever being like on like a submarine or something like that? And they said, well, no, because you can. I was like, well, that's it. I heard no. There's a chance I'll ever have to go out like on a submarine or on a boat for like months at a time. If there's even a 3% chance,
I'm out.
Yeah. I'm hella out. There's no way. Yeah. I don't want to go on no cruise.
No. Yeah.
I don't want to go on anything like that.
And honestly, knowing what I know of you, you don't need that kind of excuse to be drunken and violent.
No. No.
No.
I need to, they did. The Air Force put me in a basement.
Yeah.
They put headphones on me, which is not what pretty much I do now. Yeah. A lot of the time, I have headphones on. I'm in random.
Yeah.
This is above ground. And so it's nice. It's a little step up.
You would do your drunken violence in your home, right, like an adult.
Like a grown up.
Well, Zoltan, I'm glad that you made it home safely.
Yeah, man.
Let's get into this a little bit. Okay. So again, as a reminder to you backseaters, are for these last three episodes in December, you guys hop in the front seat,
right,
and you're running the show. And you're calling in and you're sending us emails, right, to let us know your best and your worst holiday stories. We're doing Christmas. We're doing Hanukkah. We're doing New Year's Eve.
Well, that was what we asked for. It's all Christmas.
So far.
Yeah, so far.
So like I said, each week we're going to have a surprise front seater.
Yeah.
Some of our favorites who are conveniently around for the holidays in responding to some of those. So I haven't heard these, and certainly Zoltan hasn't heard these.
No.
So we're going to listen, and we're going to engage. If there's some questions, we'll answer those questions. And if not, we'll just have a laugh, because if there's anything we're trying to do here on this podcast, it's take some serious issues, family issues, and have a laugh about it. So also, if you guys want to send us your stories, you want to send us an email, do so at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, you can leave us a voicemail at
619-292-8787.
Was that catchy enough that you could say it again?
619-212-292. All right. Well, I already quit.
8787. It's all right. It took me 2 months of singing that song to get it wrong.
Well, it took him a month to figure out that he lived in a garage.
In a garage. So. That's true.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what? I invited you here. Don't invite
that's
these
true.
Guys
and we,
anywhere.
And that's we, will, why, and we will... canceled on you yesterday. We are the worst. So.
That's true. Hard canceled.
By
too.
We, I mean Steven Baby Bach.
Yeah, quit being such a dad. Yeah.
I know, dude. Yeah.
That's every time Zoltan follows me on the stats, he goes, keep me over Dustin. He's a dad.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's really because I'm jealous.
That I am a dad?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Want to be a dad?
I think so, but I wanted, I don't want to do a bit on this thing, but I've been talking about it.
No.
I want to go adopt a kid.
Right.
But you can't as a single man.
No.
Because they'll go, this is what I say in the joke.
Well, the first thing they'll do is a home inspection.
Well, no, I think they would just say no immediately, and not only no, but now you're not allowed at parks anymore. And you're like, oh, well, that was a double miss.
Yeah.
Because I actually think I'd be good at it.
You get like a different placard instead of like a handicap.
Yeah.
They just have like a dude with like a big glasses,
I
like an outline of the face with a dude with like creepy glasses. Yeah. And you have to like, now you have to park farther away from stuff, actually. Yeah.
There's too many parks in your neighborhood. You have to move.
Our buddy in front of the podcast, Aaron Weber, has a great bit where he talks about, I bought a new car, I bought a minivan. He goes, it's important to call it a minivan because as a single guy driving around, you know, like if you say like, you know, a minivan, it looks like, you know, you're like taking kids to soccer practice.
Right.
In a van, it looks like you're taking kids from soccer practice.
Hilarious. Very funny.
What was Billy's old bet? At least he was at the game, Dad.
Yes. Yeah, the old Tide commercial.
Yeah. All right, so hit us with those sweet. We'll do voicemail, and then you sent me an email. So we'll do voice, and then voice E.
Yeah.
Two and two.
Dude, you
we'll
got
be back
it.
In. Two
Nailing
and two.
It.
Gotcha.
Okay, so what do we got?
So this first one is from Kim from Elkhorn.
Elkhorn?
That's in Sconce. That's in the Sconce. Is that what they
Elkhorn,
call it?
Elkhorn, Wisconsin?
They call it the Sconce?
The Sconce?
I would
know.
If I was lived there. Well.
Hi, Dustin and Steven. This is Kim calling from Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
Hey, Kim.
Kimberly.
Really love the podcast. Aww. I'm calling about terrible family holidays. I about died when I heard this was coming up. Back when my now husband and I were dating,
right.
On Christmas Eve, he received a phone call from my parents uninviting him to Christmas morning.
Ooh.
And that was a huge blow, not only because it was on Christmas Eve,
right.
My parents were very strict about who was a part of Christmas morning because everything was part of a tradition. Mm-hmm. Every part from the moment we got up to the moment we went to bed was a tradition. And so to have someone come to Christmas morning was a very big deal. And we fought to have my now husband come. And my parents were hesitant in the first place because we weren't engaged. Unbeknownst to me, my husband was trying to propose to me around Christmas, but my parents were dragging their feet. It was a terrible, awful experience around Christmas that year. Wow. And since then, my parents have apologized to my husband many times for their poor behavior and that they misjudged him. Right. And we are very excited that things have turned a corner, but that was the most miserable Christmas Eve and Christmas morning of my life because my husband still showed up that morning. He brought gifts for everybody after stockings had been opened, after all the presents had been done. He still showed up at his designated time that he was allowed to be there and still brought gifts for everyone in my family.
Golly.
He was a stand-up guy that morning, and he still is. Love the podcast, guys. Thanks.
Wow.
Wow. That is,
this really turned into a heroic story at the end.
Yeah.
If there was ever a family that would not invite a homeless man to Christmas dinner, it would be that family. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know Kim's this is the holiday of giving, but
Kim's last
we
name
really
is
have a tradition.
I'm sorry.
Kim Scrooge.
Kim Scrooge,
from the
that's
Scrooge.
Why.
I mean, maybe next year we can start a tradition where we have chimney sweeps over for dinner, but it's not this year. That is one of the harshest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And Kim sounds like such a sweet young
lady.
Well,
that's because you are have less interaction with religion as me. That's what that is. Like, that is like that just good old fashioned. You're not engaged. She can't come. You know, like it's like.
It's morning.
I know, and it's Christmas.
But it's like still dinner. You can still come to dinner.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah.
Nothing unholy happens in the
exactly.
morning.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not consummating anything at the table.
Right.
Hey, if
no,
so,
half
huh?
of us are wearing pajamas.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog's going to be there, sweetheart.
Yeah. Not watch these kids open their presents.
Your mother hasn't had time to put her face on. We can't have company over. Kim, you sound very sweet.
Yeah. I'm so happy, Kim, that you married this man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's what a saint.
Right.
What a hero.
A winner.
Also.
And he gets to win a lot of arguments.
Here's the thing. If you have, and I'm speaking from experience here, if you have a somewhat, like a contentious, even competitive relationship with your in-laws,
yeah.
If you marry one of their daughters, it's over. Like, they can still be that way to you, but if you've married their daughter, you've won. There's no, you know what I mean? There's no, and he did that. Like, there's no, like, we don't like him. We don't approve him. If you, once you've done that, even if that person, that father-in-law, that mother-in-law, whatever me, has still kind of a punk to you, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you married the daughter.
He lived out that song. Was that song, I'm going to marry you anyways? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I hated that song. That guy came off so whiny.
Rude.
Yeah.
Rude. Yeah. He did it.
So you're a Bukowski guy.
Yeah.
I really love Oscar Wilde.
Okay.
And he had a quote that jumped to mind here. I had to look up and make sure I got it. He said, "Children begin by loving their parents. Mm-hmm. After a time, they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them."
Wow.
Oof.
Which is some heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And we took a serious tone there, right? You start off loving your parents and you hear this, and like she even is like respectful towards your parents, but you see that kind of behavior like, this is ridiculous. You're being an idiot.
Right. Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, she's kind of reconciled with them, and it's like there's.
Of course.
It's nice. They rarely, if ever, do they forgive them. It seems like she forgave them. They apologize. They move on. Some Christmas spirit. It is Scrooge, but they came around.
They did.
Isn't truly the Scrooge story.
Right. It's still very sweet. They just wanted to keep this tradition together.
Right. Yeah.
And
my ex-sister-in-law, their family, we kind of that kind of happened to us on a Christmas Eve one time, and I was up there with my parents and my girlfriend at the time, and we ate at a burger restaurant. But honestly, they were kind of boring, so I was kind of like relieved. I honestly was like, "This is actually nice." I'm like,
"Yeah, I'm not trying to spend time with you guys."
This is actually way better than like playing like What's that mean game where like you switch presents? Like
oh, the white elephant.
White elephant.
White elephant.
Yeah. You don't like white elephant?
Or mean, or whatever, spiteful Christmas, whatever the hell it's called. I don't like that game.
Yeah.
Everyone just gets mad. Someone always walks away with like a gift that they hate. Like three people walk away with gifts that they hate. And it's like, that's not the point. The point of this is to like give a gift that someone's gonna walk away liking. But it's like someone. It's just. It's never good. I hate.
They
it.
Didn't
it's
do
so
that
much.
In the manger. Like they didn't just like, you know, someone else swiped baby Jesus' gift, and they're like, "No, I want the gold rings." Yeah. Or, I forget.
Gold's
what the
been
were.
Stolen twice. It's off the table.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sorry, you're stuck with myrrh.
You're not getting that
frozen.
iPod now.
You got the myrrh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the call, Kim. I appreciate that. Okay, let's do this next one. This is an email. This is from Danaya. I think I'm saying that right.
Probably
all right.
Not.
Subject: Worst Christmas. So everyone in my family has gotten engaged and married at 22 and tell me I was 22 and it was Christmas and I told everyone in my family that I wanted a boyfriend for Christmas. Christmas Day comes and I'm super excited for this gift that everyone has been talking about for me and I can't wait to open it. I have no idea where this is going. Have you read?
I read this. Yeah,
I have no. Is this gonna get? It sounds exciting.
Yeah.
I have no idea where this email is going.
Is this a birthday cake where someone blows at
it? It might. Yeah. They make me open it last, so I'm opening it and so excited. I open the box and it's an inflatable boyfriend, G-rated version, FYI. But I can't stop laughing at the fact they ordered this thinking it was life size. And he's only a foot tall.
Didn't they? I mean, okay. When the box came.
Yeah.
You didn't think. Because I know now they have mattresses that come in the boxes that are really small. I get that. But this is 2019.
Can I finish this email?
Oh.
Have you the ready? My family is crazy. Also, I'm now 28 and he's still the only boyfriend I've ever had.
Ooh.
You want us to make fun of that?
That part.
I didn't say make fun of me.
Oh, I thought that's what we were doing.
And then she had both versions of the teary-eyed emoji.
Wow.
You know, the one where you're LOLing and also the one where you're just crying.
I'm coming away with, I want to see a G-rated version of a inflatable
boyfriend.
What
is it? What
does that mean?
Is it fully, it's fully dressed? It's wearing a suit and has a wedding ring.
I just picture it wearing a lot of
ring.
Old Navy sweaters.
Oh, is that a performance fleece?
Yeah.
It actually is just an Old Navy mannequin.
Right.
And you can pay a little extra to get the dog. The Old Navy dog. You can put the whole family together for an extra $60.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I had an ex-girlfriend years ago. Her family gave mean gifts. Like, I remember one year she wanted a guitar. She really wanted an electric guitar. And I went with her to Christmas morning at her parents' house. You know, I showed up hours later because it was tradition.
You were carrying a Christmas goose.
I showed up with a goose. There's a homeless guy who tried to get in. And I go, we don't have that tradition here. But anyway, under the tree, there was a guitar-shaped box. Oh. And I was like, oh, my. They got you the guitar.
Yeah.
And it was a guitar box, and then she opened it, and there was just toilet paper in there.
Oh, my gosh.
And everybody laughed and laughed, and I was just there mortified going, this is the meanest? This is your family? And shockingly, that relationship didn't work out. that was the meanest thing I've ever seen in person, like at a holiday.
And she didn't get a guitar.
No.
At the end of that.
Thought, like, oh, and then they pull it out
in
of,
the
like,
garage,
the
yeah.
There was no backup guitar.
Yeah, it was like Ralphie in Christmas Story where, you know, he did get it.
Yeah.
But it just took a little while.
Yeah, like her parents didn't finish that movie. Like they only watched.
This is great. This is it.
Just the first part. Credits like, no, he doesn't get it and it's fun.
I wanted to do something mean this year. So last year when we found out we were pregnant, we found out like right at the beginning of December, my wife got little ornaments made. That said, like, you know, something cute, like our present's going to be unwrapped August something, you know, because it was like birth and then with a picture of like the ultrasound or something like that. I forget what you did. But this year I was like, Dorothy, we should do it again. But like, we're not pregnant, but like, that'd be funny if we like did it for my mom, like said like, oh, it's a girl, this, you know, like, and like really got her excited about having a girl.
Oh, man.
And I did this. Here's the deal. I was at work at the time. Yeah. I was a little stressed out at work, and I was like, this would be great. Because I was just, I think
your
I was feeling more.
Your mom was really grinding you.
Really riding me. I'm running, like, at my third hour of overtime in the day, and I was like, Dorothy, I had the best idea. The most spiteful idea.
Wow.
We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I might still do it, though. And just not even tell her.
I don't know your mom. But
what if I do it and I tell my mom, and then we do it, and then we fake out Dorothy. Like, okay. I do it. My mom acts like she's all right, freaking, and then she gets upset, yeah. And she runs to the house, and then Dorothy's gets upset, and then we all come out, and then we're like, no, you're the idiot, Dorothy. And then we kick her out.
Yeah,
I like
yeah,
your urge to upset the women in your life.
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that healthy?
It's healthy.
I don't know.
I'm going to be living in a garage.
Yeah. I'll find you a garage to move into.
Me and my, me and when I was, for like 3 or 4 years straight, me and my, it was a friend of mine in elementary school named Chris Pena. Great guy. Ended up being in the Air Force.
Okay.
And,
cool name.
We had a, it was a great name, right? Yeah. We had a, we had a thing where we would give each other cash for birthdays, but we would put it each in like deeply wrapped box. So you'd bring a Bringle box,
right,
and you'd have to wrestle through all this stuff and dig it to find your $20 or whatever. Right. And it kept getting, like, it started kind of small. And then the last one he won because he brought me this thing. He brought me essentially a refrigerator box.
Wow.
And inside it was like literal rocks. He had stuffed it with rocks. And there was barbed wire, what? And there was this kind of stuff. And I'm like, dig it. But that was part of it for the $20. And I spent like a half an hour looking through it. I was like, I it's not worth it.
He went to just, Home Depot and spent $80 on materials. Yeah.
And then,
and
then at the end of that, I was like, I give up. And he pulled $20 out of his pocket.
Chris.
Chris. Got me good.
Wow.
And I go, you win. Right. We're done with this. I don't.
You're just bleeding wearing work
clothes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't get to come to my birthday anymore, Chris. Yeah.
You hired some day laborers to help you out.
Because it was fun for us, but everybody else is like, this is not fun to watch.
Right.
Can we skip the watching presents opening?
Oh, so it's like at a party where everyone else is just like hanging out
watching. Yeah. Like we took a break off of playing, doing WWF wrestling moves on the trampoline to go open presents, but you know, that's our favorite thing growing up. We all had a custom move, you know, that you had to do, and they were all like, and like I was the most acrobatic of the group, and so I would get pretty good on trampoline, not bragging.
Okay. You are,
but I would get on our swing set, like on the monkey bars. And then I would do an elbow off the monkey bars onto some guy laying down on there.
Like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Exactly. And it just one landed too hard one time. And then it all came to a screeching halt.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Did you guys hide that kid's body in that
free box? Tony Campbell. Yeah. We would get for a while, let's do like Royal Rumbles.
Yeah.
Where you got to throw them out. But like, let's put we took like plywood and knocked nails through them.
Oh my god.
Because there was a time there. What was the
McFoley?
No. Yes, McFoley was huge. And then there was also that like other wrestling company,
ECW. Yeah, that
was
did the violence
so
stuff.
Violent.
Yeah.
And we're like, there was just one strip right there, like, but don't get thrown off over there. First off, you should not be throwing anybody off a trampoline. That's like 5 feet in the air. Sure. That's going to hurt. But
little boys will yes and themselves into manslaughter.
Yeah. No. It was so popular. I remember one time there was a kid got sent to the hospital. These were the kids older than us. And I think this was I forgot about this. We had a kid... he went to the hospital. Another kid went to the hospital because they set up a table.
Yeah.
Classic. And a guy, you know, they did their, and he laid, and they're on a baseball field, and he lays them on the table, and then he climbs up the backstop.
Whoa.
You know, a backstop.
Yeah.
That's like 20 feet high.
And it curves over.
Yeah. And he goes out, and we're like, and it's a classic thing where he hits. And the table breaks.
Of course.
And then you hear silence and then yelling and then we all run.
Wow.
Because what are you going to do? You can't be associated with that in any way whatsoever.
And you're in no position to give aid.
No. What are you gonna, what are you... None of us have cell phones.
Yeah.
I hope one of them ran to his house. I didn't. I ran to my house, and I was like, no,
Dad. The best
part
was none of you were running to get help.
No.
Yeah.
No, I went home, and I was like, yeah, Dad, I'm going to do some homework, if that's all right.
And your dad was like, don't you want to watch wrestling's on
Never
tonight?
Again.
You're like,
Never again.
No, no, no. I'm good without... No.
We're at that point, you're way more dangerous than actual wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys actually like each other.
Yeah.
And you're over there hurting each other. Wow.
Anyways, we went way off there.
Oh, my goodness.
Pro wrestling.
Let me read. Yeah, you're always down for some wrestling talking. With our favorite podcast that we send quotes to the others is Jim Cornette, because he's just like...
Oh, I love him.
He is some of the best phrases ever. It's a four-fingered...
I don't know if we can say any of them here.
Four-fingered stinker.
Oh, yeah.
That was a four-fingered stinker.
Yeah, that's how many fingers you have to stick in your mouth to get the stink out of how bad. I forget.
Yeah,
he's all Southern, so everything he says is smooth.
But
and
he's
quick
super
and
liberal
buttery.
Too, though. Yeah. Like it's pretty interesting. So, all right, let me read another email and then we'll hit another voicemail. Okay. All right, subject: Xmas. Our family had gone to my eldest daughter's house for Xmas. She had been living with the same guy for 8 years.
Are you that busy? You can't write Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, also, I'll switch to Christmas. Christmas morning, she opens her gift from him, and it's a huge diamond ring. We all started screaming because we assumed it was an engagement ring. My daughter thought so too, and tears of joy were in her eyes. Then her guy says, "That isn't an engagement ring. It's just a ring."
Hilarious.
Huh? It sure looked like an engagement ring. Total silence from everyone there. Honestly, I've kind of forgotten what happened next, but I do know she put the ring on her right hand. They finally did get engaged and married later, and the ring was moved to her left hand. They got divorced 2 years later.
Oh, yeah. That's a simple boy.
What happened Christmas morning?
That's a simple boy.
I think he panicked. I'd like to tell you what I think of him, but God doesn't want me to. Love your show, Belle. That's hilarious.
Right.
Like, I like her theory there that she's like, no, that
he
was
really
supposed
was.
To be.
Yeah.
But then he's like, nah. And then a couple years later, and then it didn't work out.
He was just dumb. He watched a lot of those like jewelry commercials where there's like a Lexus.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. But a ring, a diamond
ring,
though.
Yeah.
Listen, fellas, no rings until you're ready to get married.
Yeah.
And even when you're ready, let's be honest, it's not going to work out. You're going to be in a garage and die.
In a garage.
But, but anyway, my point is, necklaces, bracelets.
Yeah.
What was this, your sponsor?
Seeds of Love.
Seeds of Love.
Seeds of Love.
Seeds of Love.
Thank
ain't
you.
Making
it's
any ring.
Nobody married. Will get confused
They'd
if you get a
seven
seeds.
Kids right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they had some
Seeds
of Love.
Seeds of Love.
Yeah. I want to hug the man.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him because, you know, he's just dumb.
Yeah.
He meant
but
no harm.
But she had a good point. She had a theory that he was going to propose and then freaked out.
Yeah, but he panicked.
When everyone started crying and stuff, he didn't pull the trigger.
He's like, no, it's just a ring.
And so he lied about it.
Either
way, he's a dumb kid.
Yeah.
Either
that's
way,
true.
It's a
that
simple...
was a dumb decision. And if he was just planning on getting the ring, that was like, no, that's just a normal.
If
nobody wears a diamond ring on their non-wedding ring
what,
hand, Cruella
right? Bill?
Actually, I'm going to say this. If Bill could reach out and confirm or deny this, I'm going to say that wasn't his first divorce. I'm saying he had more after that.
It might have been his first, but it's probably not
his
first, only.
And then he's had
multiples.
Yeah. He's doing the hat trick.
So what happens after your second divorce? Do you have to move into like,
I don't know,
a garage first
8 years?
Yeah.
Then
it's
a mobile home.
Let me find somebody.
Yeah.
After that, it's like
you go down to
a cave
storage
motel
storage shed.
I think I just start living in Mexico. Right across the border, and I go, listen, it's great out
here. Go down there and work Wes Sample's room.
Yeah. I think I want to go the Ric Flair right. He had four wives. He's on his fifth. He's doing great.
Yeah.
I have his painting right over there.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have his millions of dollars?
Great drip game.
Okay.
No.
Then I would recommend it.
Not yet, but he's going to start getting it from these comedy clubs.
Yeah.
All right, Lou, let's hit this last voicemail and let's get out of here.
Okay. All right, this final voicemail comes from Charlie.
Hey, Dustin and Steven. Love the podcast. My name's Charlie. I was just the other day, my sister-in-law bought me tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And it was for my wife and I for a birthday and Christmas present. And so my wife and I were going to go to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and my wife texts my mother-in-law to get her to ask her if she can babysit our son, and my mother-in-law says, oh, that's the same day as my Christmas cantata, and I would be very sad if you missed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dustin, do you know what a cantata is?
No, I know what Trans-Siberian Orchestra is, which is just seasonal Nickelback. I know that.
They got one song. As soon as they said Trans-Siberian Orchestra, I'm like, oh, good, Groupon's still in business.
I have seen, I have gifted this to my mom. I saw Trans-Siberian Orchestra with my mom, and I was like, hey, we'll go along. It's actually an unbelievable show. It's so great. But it's fine. Yeah. Anyways, take that word back, unbelievable. It's a good show.
It's a
Yeah. I wouldn't have minded a check drop myself as a customer just to get distracted for a little while. But what was the thing that we were?
Christmas cantata.
What is that?
I thought you were going to know. I thought it was like a church thing.
Christmas cantata?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Never. All right,
I'm going to Google this real quick.
I thought it was either a church thing or it's a martial arts tournament that happens on Christmas.
I know what a hortata is.
Christmas kumite.
A Christmas kumite, yeah.
From Bloodsport.
Yeah. Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cantata? How do you guys think you spell that?
C-A? K-A-T-A?
I'm going to say C-A.
Okay.
Cantata?
Cantata.
What was this guy's name?
Charlie. I think he's from Atlanta. So that's what I thought. It's like, all right, let's play the rest. Let's play the rest of that.
We got to know what this is, though, right? It's a show-stopping music. I think it's a musical of some type. We bring you a Christmas cantata. The Grassiest Christmas cantata is a show-stopping musical experience that is amazing. I don't know if this is it. I'm sorry, but what we know is there's a conflict that's important to somebody else.
That's what we know.
Okay, go ahead.
So you got two choices. A world-famous orchestra that crossed Siberia.
Yeah.
or your mother-in-law in a community, community theater play, I guess.
I'm guessing less pyro.
And so at that, my wife is just so distraught about this. And so I ended up having to go with my friend Nick. I wasn't able to go with my wife. My wife stayed and went to the Christmas cantata. My question is, how should I handle this situation moving forward? I feel a little awkward about it, but, any advice would be great. Thanks, guys. I love the podcast. Bye.
Well, I want to make sure I'm fully understanding this scenario.
Right. Yeah.
So it was going to be Trans-Siberian.
Right.
But it's the same day as the Christmas cantata.
Yes. Right.
Which is some conflicting, I think, a performance of some other type.
Yes.
And his question is, who goes to what?
Well, he already went.
He went to that, and he missed Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
No, he went to Trans-Siberian. He went with his friend Nick.
Yeah. Oh, Nick.
Probably Nick Pena.
Mm. No, that was Chris Pena. I think he went with Nick Cannon, who is available now because his career is over.
Eminem's about to finish him.
I don't think Eminem's even going to respond.
Oh, that'd be the best if he didn't.
He needs to open up that Wildin' Out Bar and Grill downtown. That's what Nick Cannon needs to do. I've been waiting for that for a year and a half.
Downtown is plenty wild and out doesn't need anything.
I want to eat chicken fingers while Chris Cannon, because they say he's going to be DJing there once a month. I want to have that experience.
That Nick Cannon released a diss track and he is only a third of the diss track. Did you listen to it? The Eminem diss track? He doesn't do the majority of the rapping in it.
Well, that's kind of like
Plus, it has a chorus, which is funny. Like, a diss track doesn't usually have a chorus.
What was that one, that Tupac one? They have a bunch of, there's a bunch of people on that one.
Started it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little silly.
It is silly.
Anyways, so he sees Nick Cannon instead of Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Him and Nick Cannon go to Trans-Siberian.
Instead of the Christmas
Cortana.
Instead of Cortana.
The Christmas horchata.
The Christmas Christmas katana.
I think it turned out the best for everybody. I mean, honestly, I've never been to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but if you tell me, like, would you rather go with your wife, or would you rather go with Nick, who sounds like a blast? Nick's probably drinking in the parking lot.
Yeah, Nick's a good time.
Yeah, Nick's a great time.
Nick brought some spiked hortadas.
No, he's down in Dow.
Down in Dow. Yeah.
He's got one of those. He's got like a camelback with
he's
nice red.
Yeah. He's a good time.
And he's just having, and you're going to see Trans, and then your wife went to go,
think you handled it well. I mean, if everybody was chill, and she got the show she wanted, and you got the show you wanted, we're all having a good time here, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Zoltz? I mean, you've had a marriage fall apart.
Well, that's exactly what I was connecting this to. Like, I was listening to this guy going, he has to choose between Trans-Siberian Orchestra or this katana, whatever that is. And I go, I've never been happier that I'm divorced. And then I would rather live in a garage than go see either of those things. You know what I'd rather do? Be alone until I'm dead than have to choose. Oh, my. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Bless your heart. Oh, you're man. A better man than me.
Oh, man. Well, there are, I would say, you know, here's, if your spouse wants to do a thing.
Yeah.
And it's okay for them to not do it with you. God bless it.
Right. Yeah.
Do that. Yeah. Send them with a friend.
Right.
Send them. You know what we do in our family is like, I have no interest in seeing the Nutcracker. Sure. But like my wife and one kid will go, or the mother-in-law or something like that. And you're like, okay, that's great. And then I'll not go. So right. I'm happy.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because I absolutely don't want to go to that. I want to get all.
You know what that is? That's true love.
It is compromise, baby.
Yeah, it's called compromise.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. It's compromise. It moves us along.
Forcing yourself.
Lyric.
Wow. Wow. I thought it was Blukowski.
You thought it was Oscar.
Was that
Blukowski's?
Please never stop.
I think that was Oscar Blukowski.
I said it wrong on purpose. No.
All
right. I said it wrong on purpose.
It was Charles.
I'm doing
Wilde.
A thing. Yeah. I was doing a thing.
My goodness.
No, it was Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
Mm. Yeah.
Modern day poet.
Used to be.
Yep.
Him that first album was great.
He's the reason that people with tattoos started getting hired again. Because he was the first guy
so aggressive on the tat.
He was the first guy to get all the tattoos that no one was ever scared of.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Oh, we can start hiring him." And then then you started seeing kids with like the gauged ears and covered in tats.
Yeah,
like, "Oh, we didn't know you were harmless."
You
but
know
then
what they don't get though.
Yeah.
You know what they don't get? They don't get invited to Christmas morning.
What? You just show up in your big
like that,
old
you know?
Navy sweater.
Oh, you can't just wear normal sleeves. You got to wear those kind of sleeves, huh? Those don't keep you warm on this Elk Grove, Wisconsin, or Elk City.
Oh, it's there's a how many towns you think start or end with elk?
A lot,
Wisconsin?
Actually. Yeah. I work a lot of them. Yeah.
Every
you know
other town.
Elk cities that I work in various groves.
Grove.
Yeah, there's a lot of. Oh man, I think I got a. Right now, I have a. I'm doing York, Pennsylvania. So like Melissa like looked at it and she's like, "Oh, are you going to New York?" No, I'm going to York, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We'll have a good time.
Amish.
The probably.
Sure.
Yeah. Lancaster.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There. Go to Hersheytown or Hersheyville.
Or go see Jesse, our one of our favorite backseaters. He's out in Amish country, right? The racquetball guy.
Bada bing.
Bada bing.
He's a reptile farm.
Yeah, that's right.
How's he listening to this?
No, he's not Amish. It's
oh,
Amish
okay. All right, I got it.
Yeah, no, he goes to the Y and plays racquetball. He's one of our best backseaters.
Oh, nice.
Zoltan, thank you for doing this. You're
thanks
the best.
Man. Thank you so much for having
thanks
me.
For, yeah,
absolutely.
For having
this is going to be big for you. And guys, go see Zoltan whenever he's doing comedy clubs that he doesn't want to be at.
Yeah.
Tune in the next couple of weeks to get some more of these sweet, sweet response to you guys' great stories. And we need more.
We got two more weeks left.
Them,
we
baby.
Need some more.
All right. You guys are the best. Thank you.
See you guys.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.